Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We got a lot to cover on today's two-hour radio show spectacular, including Bugfest updates, the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in October. Next week is the premiere of Sharknado 3, which yours truly is supposedly in. So we'll cover all that and much more. But before we get to that, a few weeks ago, I was in Long Beach, California for the Scuba Show. And on Saturday night, you know, I talked to Scuba Elvis a couple weeks ago, who we met, who runs a dive shop there in Las Vegas. And you'll have to go back to the archives and podcasts and find out what that was all about. But it was a cool thing. But, you know, I met a lot of people, did a little hobnobbing and networking with folks in the dive industry. And I met this guy, Dr. Sam Miller, who pulled me aside and asked me if I knew the history of the dive flag. And I'm thinking, I was like, you know, I've never been asked that question before. And I think this, you know, requires some more enlightenment. So we have Dr. Sam Miller on Scuba Radio via the phone right now from California. Sam, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Greg. Thank you.
First of all, thanks for reaching out to us. You know, when it comes to history aspects of the diving industry, the pioneers, that kind of thing, I mean, I'm at a loss, as well as 99% of the other diving, rest of the diving public, I believe. And when it comes to the dive flag, honestly, I never really thought about that much. Like, how did it come to be? Where did it come from? And that kind of thing. And evidently, you are the man to go to, or the man in the know, when it comes to the history of the U.S. dive flag. Am I right?
Well, basically, there's a few others, but I think they're diving in that big reef in the sky right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been around for a while, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, as long as I can remember. And, you know, you kind of just take this stuff for granted, but there's a whole story, just like the U.S. flag, the Confederate flag, whatever. The U.S. dive flag has a story and history behind it. Hopefully not quite as controversial as the Confederate flag, but I'm guessing that's not the case. Or is it? I don't know.
Almost.
Okay.
Almost.
Interesting. Well, there you go. Let's hear it. What can you tell us about the U.S. dive flag and its origins?
Well, it was started in about 1957. There was one sentence in Skin Diver magazine in the September issue, and by an individual named Ted Nixon, stating that we needed some sort of a surface marker flag for divers. And he was from Michigan. And that started the ball rolling.
Okay. And interesting. Well, why in Michigan, of all places? You're out on the California coast. I would think it would have started in California. Do we know
just
why?
About 99% of everything started in California at that time, and basically still is. But what happened, they were having a lot of problems on lakes with the boats, seeing bubbles or whatever.
Right.
And bear in mind, in 1957, there was a very, very, very small population of divers.
Sure.
And they were an oddity and a curiosity. And boaters would run over to see the bubbles or see them surface or whatever.
Right.
And it became very apparent that diving divers and the boating public were on a collision course.
Mm-hmm.
And divers were going to lose. There's no doubt about that.
True. True. So it came from a diver who said, we need to alert these boaters, let them know there's some divers in the area. That's how it started, but evidently out of the Great Lakes or Michigan someplace.
Michigan. I think it's Flint, Michigan, somewhere like that.
Okay. All right. And that was back in the 50s. But there is some controversy on even whether or not that is correct. Because I know before we scheduled this, you were telling me that some guy claimed back in the early 90s that he invented the dive flag, and that wasn't necessarily the case, or what? How did that happen?
That was very interesting. Generations, everybody considered Ted Nixon as the father of the dive flag. He is credited in many magazines. He is credited in all the some books, and he is just credited as the father of the dive flag.
Okay.
Well, there is a great magazine I really enjoy it called Dive Training.
Right.
And there was a girl named Colleen Bondi, who happened to be, believe it or not, lived about 20 miles from where I live. And she wrote an article, How Did the Dive Flag Start, or something like that.
Right.
And about 1992, I think it was, or thereabouts. And the nobody answered. I didn't see the article. I was pretty busy in my own profession.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next issue, she said, I found the father of the dive flag. It's this gentleman in Florida. Hmm. Everybody said, whoa, Ted's moved to Florida. And you read the article, and it was somebody I'd never even heard of.
Right.
He was never in any of the publications related to diving.
Ah.
He was not involved in the initial phases of the development of the flag. He contributed nothing. Then the next thing you know, here comes a book which was called Who's Who in Scuba Diving. It's still available. It was published one time in 1993 and listed all the people and what they contributed to the diving.
Yeah.
And this individual said, I invented a dive flag again. Mm.
Interesting. And a Florida guy making stuff up. That sounds so far-fetched.
Yeah. And then he wrote an article about his involvement and tacked it on his business door, and everybody said, oh, he's the father of the dive flag.
Hmm.
He had absolutely nothing to do with any of the litigation I have been involved in. I have not found him any of the literature. So that was the controversy of the beginning.
So you called her out on the article and said, hey, wait a minute, I have like the largest library of dive-related magazines and books in the world, and I can't find any mention of this guy. And
basically, I have about 2,000 dive-related books and I think 13 or 14 magazines bound.
Okay.
And I've gone through them. Obviously, I presented a program at the scuba show in Long Beach called The Intriguing History of the Dive Flag.
Right, yeah.
And I mentioned this in that article, in that presentation about the controversy.
Yeah, but what the truth was, you knew, I guess, the date that this guy in Florida was saying was much later than you said it was going down.
It was 25 years later.
Yeah, so maybe he invented it for Florida or something. No,
not quite. Now, Florida is another problem, interesting controversy.
Yeah. We have our issues over here, I have no doubt. But why is that? What's the problem with Florida?
The dive flag, as established pre-1960, when it was basically adopted by the diving public at that time, everybody had a say of developing it via Skin Diver magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Clubs and individuals and everything would write in with their suggestions. Well, in 1960, we decided that the flag would be 5 units wide, 4 units high, and a 1 unit diagonal white stripe.
Mm.
That was the official dive flag.
Okay. As a matter of fact, when we're at the
time.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, when you bring that up, I think that was a conversation we had at the dive show, because you looked at our Scuba Radio logo and you said, hey, you know that logo you have there, your dimensions are off a little bit.
I did, matter of fact.
Our white band across the middle, you're saying, wasn't thick enough. Is that
That's right.
Well, there you go. Okay, see?
Yeah, but, you got a good memory, Greg.
But that is not the Florida problem.
Anyway, Florida, a city law or a state law,
yeah,
they could fly only the Florida state flag, the American flag, or a flag of a nationality.
Okay.
They could not fly any other type flags.
Hmm.
So Florida looked into it, and they found that there was a Caribbean country, I think it was Trinidad,
yeah,
that had a flag that had a white stripe going through it. So they kind of modified and everything and created a dive flag with a thin white stripe.
So I'm okay for Florida, just not the rest of the world. That's what you're saying, right, Sam?
That's exactly right.
Okay, well, hold on. We got to take a quick break, and we will be back with more from Dr. Sam Miller, the man who knows the history and the origins of the U.S. dive flag. That's coming up next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Attention divers, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device any Beyond Boundaries diver needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/scuba to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
It's a symbiotic relationship. I'm a mighty great white shark lemon, and you are a remora clinging to me with your suction cup head. I give you a free ride, and in exchange, you eat my parasites.
Baby, there's a shark in the water. There's something underneath my bed. Oh, please believe I said, baby, there's a shark in the water. I caught them barking at the moon. Better be soon.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we are talking about the origins of the U.S. dive flag today. A little departure from our normal mode of operandi here at the big show, but Dr. Sam Miller is helping us out. He lives in California, and he has the largest, library of dive magazines and literature, he thinks, in the world. Do you have that proven, or you just know that you have just shelves and shelves of stuff that nobody in their right mind would have in their home? What do you think there, Sam?
A little bit of both. No, okay. There is a small community of dive bibliophiles, and I have been acclaimed for many years of having the largest collection of dive literature, dive ephemera, dive books and dive magazines in the world.
All right. So, but the official term is what? Bibliographer? What is it?
Bibliophile.
Oh,
a book lover.
Oh, okay, a book lover. Of course.
And magophile would be a magazine lover.
That, well, that explains why I didn't understand the term, because I usually wait for the movie to come out. But whatever. That's just my faults. But what were the white stripe on the U.S. dive flag for Florida? Initially, they had to change it slightly from the original proposal.
A smaller one, as I say. First contact was on a trip, and I went into a dive shop in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. A young lady by the name of CJ or JC took me around, and I just couldn't help but say something about their flag. But I thought, well, they probably know the history, but a lot of people don't recognize that Florida was constricted in putting a one-unit white stripe through it, and they had to basically modify, I think it was Trinidad's flag, mm-hmm. to fly because it was a foreign country, but they could not fly any other type flags from their flagstaff.
Okay, so they got around it by making the white stripe a little thinner.
Quite thin, yes.
Yeah, okay. But did that ever change over time, and now it's standardized, or,
well,
or what?
Well, in Florida, I've seen both.
Okay.
I've seen them, the regular flag. You know, right now, the things are going square. I think nobody would fault you if you had a square dive flag, but
right.
The official dive flag was the 4x5x1.
Uh-huh.
Or 5x4.
All right. Well, when you mentioned something about the Scuba Radio logo, just know it was based off the Florida version of the dive flag.
That's right.
So, yeah, I meant to do that. I don't know. But now we're a little bit more, I don't know, loose in that regard, as long as people have come to know that the red flag with a white stripe is a dive signal, and it's printed pretty standard. But back in the day, it went through a lot of legal challenges when you guys started this in California, or what? How did that happen?
Well, there was, in California, we have a lot of kelp at that time, considerable amount of kelp.
Yeah.
And it really didn't catch on. It, one person, Stan Shelley, S-H-E-E-L-Y, out of San Jose, said, man, that's going to really catch on. So he ordered 500 of them.
Hmm.
And the first year he sold one or two, and the second year he sold one or two. By 1961 or two, he was not selling any of them, so he sold them to a company called Aquacraft, who was a aftermarket supplier, and they spread throughout California, and that's how California got the dive flag.
Okay.
With Bob Mitchell, who owned the company, and he would travel from place to place to place, servicing the dive shops. But it did not catch on much in California.
Yeah, but nobody tried to, like, patent it or anything in the beginning, which, God, they would have been billionaires by now if that would have been the case.
Well, now, that's very interesting. About 1993, 4, 5, there was a fellow bought a company, remnants of a company, that had made scuba jewelry.
Okay.
And, of course, obviously, one of the items was a dive flag.
Hmm.
And he said, son of a gun, I bought this company, and they made the dive flag jewelry, so obviously, I own the rights to the dive flag.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So he
worth a shot, I guess.
So make it public.
Right.
So he sued Central Divers in Massachusetts because they had the dive flag as part of their logo. They have a great big huge dive flag on the side of their building.
Yeah.
He sued Connecticut Bell because they had all these advertisements of other dive shops in their telephone book, and he sued them. He did the buckshot thing, sued everybody in the world.
Yeah.
And there was about an 18-month research, which I got involved in rather heavily, through ScubaPro. It was a ScubaPro shop that was sued. And,
right, okay.
And the fellow who ran ScubaPro at that time was one of the founders, Dick Bonin, Dick and Gus De La Valle. Dick called me up and he said, "Sam, you had something to do with the dive flag." And I said, "Yes, I did, Dick, quite a bit." And he said, "My gosh, we're in trouble." And said, "This fellow is going to own the dive flag." And so I said, "Well, gosh darn, Dick, I go back in my records and tell you it wasn't him. He didn't develop it. He doesn't own it, anything." But nevertheless, it went on for 18 months.
Yeah.
And finally, the judge of the case said, "Well, it is in public domain. It is cannot be patented. Cannot be is not owned by anyone." Mm. And so it's now just a
symbol.
A symbol.
Yeah, that everybody uses.
And poor old Ted Nixon didn't get a penny out of it. But if he had patented it, he'd been a wealthy man.
Yeah, well, there you go. At least he had the accolades of being the father of the dive flag.
That's for sure. And yeah. I think he deserves all that credit. Yeah. He certainly did a lot of work on it and did a lot of writing and a lot of publicity for it.
Yeah, and that was back, when was the date, you would say, was the birth?
September 1957.
57.
That issue of Skin Diver Magazine. Just one sentence is all it was that started it.
Very nice. The history of the dive flag. We're talking to Dr. Sam Miller. He has all the research. Fascinating stuff that I think every diver can appreciate. We're going to talk a little bit more about it next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. I got Dr. Sam Miller on from California right now. He is the man who's documented the history of the dive flag. 1957, you say it came out. And that was actually after Skin Diver Magazine had been published for several years.
So the first issue of Skin Diver was December 1951.
Well, okay, so there you go. So this was like a topic that was popping up in Skin Diver a little bit here and there. And then it eventually kind of came out from just these discussions in the dive community at the time, Sam?
Well, it went from a paragraph in magazine to people writing in and letters to the editor type thing to people writing articles about the dive flag and a lot of discussion. At one time, they even just thought about using the Navy 7 flag, which is similar to the dive flag, except the stripe is horizontal rather than diagonal.
Oh, that would have been boring.
Oh, good Lord, yes. So, anyway, I got involved with it because I was dating, I just got out of the Air Force. I'd been a captain in the Korean War. And I got out of the Air Force, and I was dating a girl who lived about two blocks from Skin Diver headquarters. And I'd been a diver since the early 40s, or mid-40s, I'm sorry. Wasn't a diver. I was a goggler and that sort of thing. And I'd always stop in Skin Diver and chat and see what was going on, and I had some input about the dive flag, but I never wrote anything about it. I just stopped and chat with them about it. And it kind of, some of my thoughts got into print, I'm sure.
That is so cool. I mean, and all these years of doing scuba radio, I never had thought about even asking about the dive flag. But now I know. Now maybe a few other folks know. And it's good to know that folks like Dr. Sam Miller are documenting this history for the dive industry so we can be a little bit more educated and have something to represent our passion for diving. And that's the scuba diving flag. Sam, thank you so much. Really appreciate you filling us in today.
No problem. My pleasure indeed.
We got more coming up after a Dantev next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio, divers consumer tip number 123. Many know that orcas are considered the wolves of the sea. Lesser known is those bloodthirsty sharks are sometimes considered the vampires of the sea. And a war is coming. Twilight, Undersea Bloodbath. Coming soon to a theater near you in IMAX 3D. Scuba Radio is not yet rated. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Looks like you're happy to be here, Nick.
I am. How could you tell?
You're smiling.
You're right. And the smiling was a signal.
I get the feeling. You're signaling our topic for the day.
You ever notice how many signals are out there to help us through our day?
Not really.
Think about it. Everywhere you look, there are signals. Some subtle. Some not, to help communicate what's going on around you. Street signs, traffic lights, calendar alarms. There are tons of them incorporated into our everyday lives, and they've all become really important to us.
Kinda like signaling devices are important to divers?
Saw it coming, huh?
We'll call it one of those not-so-subtle signals.
Well, I appreciate you going into it just the same. Yes, signaling devices are an extremely important aspect of diving, and divers really need to know why as well as what their options are.
Let's start with the why.
Signaling devices are important because they serve a variety of purposes. They allow divers to communicate up close and at a distance, both on the surface and at depth.
All at the same time?
Wise guy. No, it's not likely you'll be doing all of these all at once. But having the proper signaling devices close at hand will allow you to be able to communicate in most situations.
What kind of signaling devices are available?
Well, I'd have to say the visual markers are the front runners when it comes to common usage. Dive lights and tank markers are standard gear on night dives or dives with low visibility. They provide an easy way to keep an eye on your buddy's position or to ensure that you don't lose the group. Attaching a marker to the anchor or a scent line can also be helpful in finding your way back at the end of a dive.
Being in Florida, there's a lot of diving done from shore and private boats. Because of it, I see a lot of floats, flags, and buoys.
All of those are familiar sights, and each serves an important purpose. They indicate the presence of divers below, so other boats and water sports enthusiasts know to watch out for them.
What about visual markers for emergency use?
There are a lot of BCDs out there with signaling mirrors in their pockets, and safety sausages are increasingly considered standard safety gear.
Well, they're not just useful in emergency situations. I know a lot of divers who use safety sausages as buoy markers, drift dive markers, and even secondary lift bags.
They are really pretty versatile.
All of these items are considered visual signaling devices. What other kinds are there?
Probably the next most popular items are the sound-based signaling devices.
You mean like the whistle we're taught to carry from day one?
Exactly. It can be something as simple as that. Or other options that may be integrated into your equipment. There are a number of options out there, and more appear every year.
I'd say there's one more category that I'd like to call the high-tech category. What do you think?
For those of you who want to carry them, yes, there are more and more high-tech options available. Many of these work on frequencies by which the diver transmits signals back to the boat for easy tracking. The first GPS-based two-way radio is even available now. These devices tend to be much more expensive, but it's exciting to see the technology develop.
You weren't kidding when you were saying there are a lot of options.
There are a lot of options, but they all have one thing in common. They allow divers to communicate what's going on with them. They can alert other divers to the diver's position, or they can signal distress and trigger assistance. They can help you navigate or simply keep track of a buddy. Because of the many functions they serve, the importance of signaling devices can't be denied.
Whether you like to be seen or heard, don't be shy when it comes to diving signaling devices. Choose the option that works for you and make sure your message is heard. Do that and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. On the phone I have now is my good friend Big Wave Dave. He's been doing a lot of good stuff with the Wounded Warriors. Dave, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. Right between two shows, I had a great weekend up in New York at Breezy Point with the Wounded Warriors.
Yeah, let's talk about this. So last weekend, you were with the Wounded Warriors. Where exactly?
Basically, Breezy Point. It's a very southern tip of Long Island. You're actually right across from Coney Island.
Nice.
And what they do is they bring in a bunch of soldiers from Walter Reed and alumni, and they get to go surfing, water skiing, kayaking, and scuba diving.
Cool. So were you with the Be a Diver pool? Did you take them in the pool, or did you actually take them off the coast there to do some diving?
No, we went in the pool because a lot of times they have open injuries, so they can't go in the ocean yet. So we're actually at a place called the Silver Gull Surf Club, set up in their parking lot. And then down from that beach, they had the surfers going on, and then at another beach, or I should say another area, they had the water skis going out in the bay. And kayaking going on.
Got it. So it's a bunch of cool outdoor activities that Wounded Warriors could take advantage of and expand their capabilities, just give them something to go for. And I know that's been a huge passion for you personally, as well as one of the offshoots of what the Be a Diver Pool does. And I'm guessing that must be one of the most fulfilling and fun things you do as part of this Be a Diver Pool tour. Am I right?
Yeah, it's a great weekend. You're meeting guys that, you know, anywhere from them that have some post-traumatic stress to, somebody who's a triple amputee, you know, getting in the water, enjoying scuba diving. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, we do in August, about a month away from now, I'll be taking a group of eight soldiers and their wives, spouses, down to Bonaire scuba diving for the week.
Is this kind of an intro to that? I mean, they go through the program in the pool at this event, and then they kind of get, enticed to the idea of maybe going down to Bonaire and actually spending real quality time in the water and taking their diving activities to the next level, or what?
Well, sometimes it'd be the year after, because basically everybody's going through training now. So these are people that we work with, different groups, different parts of the United States. They select the warrior. We work with our DEMA Be a Diver retailers to do their classroom and pool. And then we'll go down there and do the referral diving.
Very nice. Now, do they consider you kind of like a warrior of scuba diving? Aren't you like a diving superhero to these folks? I'm guessing you are when you're just touring the country.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah. You need a cape or something.
We've got a great group of guys that come out and help us. For instance, like Handicapped Scuba Network of New Jersey. We've got Scuba New York Brooklyn and Blue Water Divers supplied all the dive staff for the weekend, and we had a great weekend.
Yeah. Now, do you get the opportunity to spend a lot of quality time with these guys and hear their personal stories of what they've had to, you know, overcome with their physical challenges from whatever injuries they may have encountered overseas, or what?
Well, you have to wait for them to kind of volunteer the information. They ask you not to, you know, pester them about what's all happened, everything. So it depends on, you know, how you're talking to them. Some really like diving. So we really find out where they're living now, maybe if they're in the D.C. area or if they're back home, and then we kind of get them involved with the local dive store.
Yeah, but what I have heard and the interactions I've had with some of those folks over the last few years is it's kind of, you know, mind-boggling and just very encouraging to meet these folks and see how enthusiastic they are. I mean, you think like, oh, man, is this going to be a bit of a downer? Am I going to have to kind of lift this person up a little bit emotionally and get them to try this? Every time I've come across these guys, they are like tickled pink, just like any new diver would be. Is that what you've encountered as well?
Well, yeah, because, you know, they're looking. One thing about the scuba diving, it's an equalizer sport. Like, we did an interview with NBC up there. Really, once you're in the water, whatever disability you have really disappears, you know, with some modified scuba equipment, maybe such as the swim gloves and everything. Like, in the water, everybody's the same.
Yeah. And it is kind of cool to see. And it's inspiring for folks that don't have those challenges to see how enthusiastic and how full of life they can be, especially when they put diving out there as one of the elements that they can still achieve despite whatever challenges they have faced because of their injuries over the last few years. It's pretty cool stuff you've been doing with that, Dave. I love it. And one of these days I'm going to have to join you in Bonaire. But where are you heading out next just for the Be a Diver Pro Tour?
Well, that show is Friday, Saturday. So I spent the day yesterday and finished up this morning to be in Pittsburgh. We're here at the Pittsburgh Zoo and PPG Aquarium doing basically Discover Scuba with the Be a Diver Pool Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So you're actually at a zoo doing this weekend?
Yeah, zoo/aquarium.
Okay,
and we're actually right, the pool set up right at the exit of the shark tank.
Nice. You know, why don't they just throw the folks in the tank? Or are you tempted to do that? I mean, you got an aquarium there. Maybe it's like, hey, you know, for once you do this little pool thing we're going to do, if you feel you really feel adventurous, we're going to jump over in the shark tank. What do you say? And do a shark dive.
Well, we do that at some of them. This particular aquarium, the shark tank, they do not have open to public. But in a few weeks, we'll be out in Salt Lake City and after that in Denver. And actually, they do the shark diving out there, so they can try it in the pool. If they're certified, they can go dive with the sharks, but they can dive with the fish in the aquarium.
Well, there you go. See, I was just joking, and lo and behold, Dave has set it up.
It is true. They can do it. They can't quite do the sharks, but they can do everything else.
Very nice. BeADiver.com is the website to go to and find out where Big Wave Dave's going to be with the Be a Diver pool. More coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's Nanook.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
Did you know fewer than 2% of divers ever achieve the PADI Master's Scuba Diver Rating? Earning your Master's Scuba Diver Rating places you in an elite group. People will know you've spent time underwater in a variety of environments with significant experience and training. Rescue Diver Certification with 5 specialties and a minimum of 50 log dives are all you need. And for a limited time, get a free e-card when you earn your PADI Master's Scuba Diver Rating. So join the elite. Contact your local PADI Dive Center resort or instructor to plan your journey towards Master's Scuba Diver today.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Weather is better when you breathe like a fish. Weather is better when you're making a wish. Right now I wish that I was making bubbles, diving away all my troubles.
Hi, I am Peter, dive guy from Humboldt Explorer and the Galapagos Islands. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to the diving. Now, here's the guy who likes stirring the boobies as much as I do. Great Dive Master.
Will there be boobies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is the world's first radio show devoted to diving, and I like the boobies. I'm talking about the blue-footed boobies you see in the Galapagos. Of course, that's what I'm talking about. What else would it be? Clay McArdle from Explorer Ventures, though, that runs the Humboldt Explorer or helps you book it there in that part of the world, is on Scuba Radio right now. You're a big fan of the boobies, too, aren't you, Clay?
Yeah, I'm just wondering how to pronounce it now.
What do you mean?
You know, I think you said boobies or something like that.
Well, I'm just trying to take on the locals' accent. You know, try to interface with that culture well. Just, you know, last week, and I guess some folks that were in that area to get on, you know, get on the Humboldt Explorer had to navigate around the Pope's travel schedule because he was down there in Ecuador.
The Pope was actually it was either Sunday or Monday this last week. He gave a big sermon, mass, whatever, in Guayaquil. So and more than a million people showed up, and I think it was 750,000 in Quito the next day. So,
yeah, I think he said God bless
the event for Ecuador.
I think he said God bless the boobies. I think he might have been quoted saying that. Who knows?
You're going to burn in hell.
Well, you aren't the first person who said that, but whatever. Hopefully he doesn't. But yeah, he was down in that neck of the woods. No chance of getting him on one of those dive boats, I guess, though. You think?
No, you know, we reached out to the people in the Pope Mobile, but it's not amphibious. So,
yeah.
So it couldn't get out there.
Well, they got next year to look forward to. That could be like the Pope Mobile 2.0 submersible.
There you go.
So let's talk about some of these cool Explorer Venture liveaboards people could go on. I mean, Galapagos is one. There's still a few spots you could pop on here through the end of the year still, or what?
Some spots in December, but pretty much, you know, and I think we've got literally a spot or two here and there.
Yeah.
If you're flexible in terms of travel dates. But other than that, that boat is pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
we've got,
right now is the time to head out to the Caribbean and do the CX2 or even the Turks boat, like, or join us in October, because the conditions are just perfect right now, aren't they?
The conditions are wonderful. I mean,
yeah.
We have excellent diving opportunities all summer long, and the storms are supposed to be much lower than average this year. Haven't had any issues at all, and it's been absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and then the weather fairy came by and wished us well as well. Evidently.
Yeah, I remember talking to her.
Well, she just chimed in, it was kind of perfect timing for that. I love it. But, the thing is we are in the hot summer months, which is definitely warm, but this is bathtub diving in the Caribbean. So if you go out on the Turks boat or the CX2 boat, you don't even need a wetsuit. The water feels nice, cool, and refreshing. I mean, it's like upper 80s maybe, or 85 to, 90 thereabouts, and that is just warm water wuss diving at its best. And then when you're in these summer months, there's not as much wind. So if you're susceptible to seasickness, this is the time to go diving as well. Are you with me on this or what?
Indeed. I mean, it's a beautiful time of year down there. Calmer seas in general and warmer water. And, it's pretty easy to fall overboard and go diving.
True. Absolutely. And what about some specials? You got any deals going on right now with like the CX2 or what?
Yeah, we do. We've got some specials on CEX2. We've got some year of savings weeks coupled with our free and easy passes for certain weeks on Caribbean Explorer 2. We've got some on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2. We've got some free Nitrox weeks, for instance, on our Maldives boat, Carpe Vita Explorer. And we'll be introducing a sister ship for her next year as well in the Maldives. So
really,
so it's a pretty exciting time.
Well, that's news to me. What do you mean a sister ship?
You know, I keep these things from you so that you can get that genuine tone of surprise in your voice.
Well, I am. I'm surprised. I'm shocked. It's awesome though. So there's going to be a second Maldives boat starting next year, or that's
yep,
the plan.
There is.
So, and I mean, will it have the same type of thing where they have the compressor boat following the main boat, the accommodation boat, like the Maldives boat is now?
Yep. It'll have a Adoni just like Carpe Vita does. We're really excited about it.
Very nice. Well, hey.
It's like having a mobile dive deck. You just keep your gear on that boat and it goes out get to some of the harder to access sites that the big boat can't get into, and it gives you a lot more flexibility.
Well, and they got the compressors on that boat. It's a little bit more noisy. They keep that away from your accommodation, so you go on and you kind of lounge out on your own private vessel, and you really feel like you're on a super yacht when you're on that boat in the Maldives, the Carpe Vita. Do we got a name for this new boat yet, or what?
Well, you're gonna have to talk to Agnes about that.
I was gonna say that's why I'm shocked. I'm just learning about this. I'm guessing she would have contacted us and say, Greg, what do you want to name it? Old Craig's boat. That's what I would think. That'd be my first. Maybe that's why she hasn't reached out. Okay. I guess I answered my own question there, didn't I, Clay?
Very quickly, I might have.
I'm learning slowly. You know, after 18 years or so of doing this show, I've picked up a little bit here and there. But that's cool. That's great news. So there you go. Explore Ventures is going to have a little bit more capacity to send people out to the Maldives, and it should definitely be on every diver's list by far. But once again, this is the time of year to go diving in the Caribbean, or better yet, join us October 3rd for the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. Are you going to surprise me and say you're going to come on that trip too as well, Clay, or what?
Well, I don't know. There's only a couple spots left on that trip. Mm-hmm. And you keep telling me there's a bunch of people that have called you and said they want to go more than the space is available for.
Yes,
it,
so they better get on it because, spots are filling up quick. And, you know, we got our friends from Dive Training Magazine, Scuba Pro, as well as going to have a demo week and give us some cool prizes for the folks on board. And, of course, we'll be doing our show with the Scuba Cowboy playing music for everyone. And maybe even a mermaid or so might pop up and be there for your photographic pleasure. We'll just leave it at that, I guess. Right, Clay? Just for
safety. That'd probably be a good idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it for this hour. More coming up in hour two. Some very cool stuff on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.